Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Silver, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Straight up 6 o'clock here in Chicago. Jesse Rogers and Tom Waddle for another half hour. We'll crosstalk with Bleck and Abdallah in just a few minutes.
We've got a show today, Jess.
Yeah, we've got. Oh, we don't have crosstalk, do we? Because we got Bears Weekly at 6:30. I'm sorry. Yeah, Bleck and Abdallah will be along at 7:30. It has been quite a show, and really took off about an hour and 15 minutes ago when Shohei Ohtani met the media out in Los Angeles, which is where we will go. You can catch this guy all over SportsCenter today and tonight at ESPN.com with his story on Shohei Ohtani and what he had to say today. It's Alden Gonzalez, who covers baseball for ESPN in L.A. Alden, what's up, pal?
How we doing, Jesse?
We're doing good. Tom Waddle's next to me. Alden and I go way back, and you know he was excited that Shohei signed up with the Dodgers. I don't know if he knew he'd be talking about this in the first week of the season. Alden, you know Shohei as well as anybody can. He's kind of a private guy. Is this story believable, knowing what you know of him?
That's the $100 million, or in this case, $700 million question, Jesse. I don't know. I think anybody, any discerning person can be skeptical about it. But I will say this, Shohei Ohtani said a lot more today than anybody would have expected. I think the prevailing thought was that he was going to hide behind the fact that this is a pending investigation and he wasn't going to disclose much. But he spoke for close to 15 minutes. He had a folder in front of him with very detailed notes. And he went basically line by line in his effort to corroborate the story that his camp has been sort of pushing lately, which is that Pete Mizuhara, his longtime interpreter, a guy who was basically his best friend out here in the United States, stole millions of dollars from him to place an illegal, an alleged illegal bookmaker who is under federal investigation. It's hard to believe that story because moments before that story was pushed, Ipe told a completely different story, which was that Shohei Ohtani helped him pay off his bets. Shohei Ohtani today was adamant that that was not the case, that he's never gambled, that he's never agreed to loan Ipe money, and he said that he didn't find out about this until Ipe addressed the Dodgers after their first game in South Korea because this story was going to come out.
Alden, do you know whether or not there is going to be a criminal investigation into this portion of the story? I know that the bookmaker is being investigated, as you said, in a federal situation. Do you know whether or not a criminal investigation is likely to be opened into this, or whether or not that maybe Shohei would file criminal charges or try to file criminal charges against his interpreter because of the crime?
Well, Shohei Ohtani's camp did tell us, told Tisha Thompson specifically, that they did send this to get investigated. They declined to tell us specifically which agency is going to investigate this, but they said from the beginning that they're going to press charges against Ipe Mizuhara, and they confirmed for us a few days later that they reached out to an agency to investigate it. We just don't know who is doing the investigating right now.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out. I'm sure.
I would think, though, Jesse, if in fact you do commit to pressing charges, then you're going to be liable or exposed to any type of investigation that goes into the veracity of your own claims.
Alden, back to the fact that you've covered him and know him a little bit. I feel like you would agree with this. He actually does seem like a elite, rich, high-profile athlete that might have his head in the sand on some of this stuff. It knowing his personality, it is, I guess, somewhat believable. Would you agree with that?
It is, and I think that's a fair point, Jesse. I mean, one thing that we know, we don't know much about Shohei Ohtani, right? I think that's we need to start from that prism, that even like players who have been around him for a long time, they don't really know him. That's not to discredit Shohei. I mean, some people are private. He's definitely a more private person. He needs to be because he's the biggest baseball star in the world. But I think one thing that we do know is that Shohei Ohtani doesn't have a ton of other interests. He likes to play baseball and he likes to sleep. Outside of that, I don't think we know anything about his interests, his hobbies. I will say this. I've spoken to a lot of people, coaches, former teammates who were with him with the Angels. I haven't found a single person who would tell me that he likes to gamble, that he has any interest in gambling, that he's ever even talked about gambling. It's actually quite the opposite. That all I've heard is that he completely frowns upon it. I'm not saying that that's 100% accurate. I can't confirm that. I can't prove that.
Yeah.
But I've yet to find a single person who would tell me that he's into gambling. What I have been able to find is people who would, you know, not think it's completely out of the ordinary for somebody else to be managing his money. I think we see that a lot with celebrities, with rich, with people who are very well off, with athletes who sign big contracts. So is that part feasible in this case? Yeah, I think so, to some extent. It's just, you know, I think there are questions still, though, here in terms of how do we get so far down the line before Shohei Ohtani knew what was going on?
Yeah.
And how does somebody like Ipe, if this is true, get access to that much money?
Yeah, I mean, those are questions for his agency and his agent, right? I mean, they're part of, you talk to any agent, they're intertwined with their, they don't just don't sign the contract and let them be. They're intertwined with their finances many times. And when you talk about Shohei's agent, this is his main and maybe only client. So I feel like there's some serious questions to the agency, the banks, and all this, all these people.
I've got an interest. I'm interested as well to how did whoever it was, Ipe or whoever, how did he get connected to the bookmaker in California?
Yeah, they were introduced at some event, right, Alden?
Ipe and the bookmaker? Yeah. According to Fisher's reporting, they were introduced in San Diego, I think during a poker game.
Okay. Interesting.
Alden, it'll be interesting what happens over the coming weeks. But I think that's the next step. Like, we need to talk to some experts. Can someone steal $4.5 million in several different transfers without anybody knowing it?
Yeah, right? That would be great to know. Absolutely.
Yeah. Alden, thank you, pal.
Thanks. Thanks for the update.
No problem, guys.
Appreciate it.
I still am skeptical of it. I mean, maybe it's true. I'm not saying it can't be done because I'm not an expert on it, but I just find it unusual that you could do this on several occasions the course of a long period of time and nobody inside your inner circle other than your interpreter. There's this, I would think, with someone of his wealth and his importance and the fact that he is in a country that is still, despite, you know, playing Major League Baseball for several years, is still kind of foreign to him, your circle of protection would not have been notified of this.
And remember the callers that said it's as easy as just getting a phone call. We're talking about you and me,
right,
and people off the street. At this, like I said, during the commercial break, I talked to a baseball agent. There are people involved when money moves at that level. You know, your financial advisor gets triggered, your account, whatever. There's a trigger. There's people. And if they don't notice the first time, they're going to notice at some point over the course of $4.5 million.
Fourth time, so fifth time.
Again, improbable, maybe not impossible, though. We got to leave that door open. Listen, I talked to one agent. Doesn't mean another agent might disagree.
My guess is the guy on the other end of this, the bookie, the illegal bookmaker, has provided a tremendous amount of insight into some of the details, and that they must be further along in investigating this than we could even imagine.
And let me say this, as someone that covers baseball, if Shohei was found that gambling and losing that money and paying the bookmaker, his penalty in terms of baseball would be a slap on the wrist.
It's just a fine.
It's just a fine.
Yeah.
It's just a fine. Now, it would be a hit on his reputation, blah, blah, blah. But also, I mean, I guess Jordan did gamble a lot. I mean, why would Shohei be, but people gamble even with a lot of money.
Yeah, I don't think so. That's to each their own. But there are rules that are involved, and if you break the rules, you're going to face the penalties that are attached to each.
I think with Jordan, too, wasn't it mostly golf and poker? I mean, it doesn't seem like there's any knowledge that there was actual sporting events that...
Yeah, casino, but, you know, I played blackjack with Jordan on a casino boat once.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he roped off. The table was roped off.
And you got underneath?
He recognized me. He called me over, and I played one hand with him.
I was going to say, if you did anything that disrupted the flow of the cards, your ass was going to get tossed.
Literally put $10 down, and he had like $3,000 on it. Swear to God.
Yeah.
True story. I played one hand. He's like, what are you doing here? And I said the same thing to him. What are you doing here? And that
did you play the hand correctly?
I don't remember. I don't remember that. Wow. But I just remember I said, I'm going to let you go, and it backed off. But they rope around it. But there were no private rooms back then. Right. This is a casino boat out here, one of the early casino boats.
I had the same thing with, I didn't sit down and play with the Tiger Woods was right behind me in the Bahamas, where they roped off a spot.
Who
and
he was
just
with?
Playing.
That's what
he was with another golfer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
Yeah. He was with another golfer, professional golfer. He wasn't with somebody else.
So, yeah, you're right. To each his own. Maybe it was Shohei. But I think we're all stuck on this idea that $4.5 million left his bank account and nobody in his orbit knew about it.
The other thing to me that would be very telling is whether or not there will be a criminal charge filed against the interpreter, or whether or not Shohei and his people are looking to press charges.
Right.
Criminal charges against the interpreter. Because once you decide to go down that road, then
you're going to admit it to that story.
Right.
Yeah.
And if there are any holes in that story, you are exposing yourself to
And by the way, how
issues.
Long does that investigation need to take? You know, either, right? The money's gone. He's admitted to it in some respect. I mean, I guess, you know, you have to get the evidence, but it probably won't take that long to charge him.
I think also, like, where these things are approved, if they're approved electronically, you can prove where it took place.
Exactly.
So, I mean, there's got to be a footprint here that is going to provide all the necessary information.
Is Shohei in the shower and this guy's like getting on his laptop while, you know.
I don't know. It's weird.
That's a
weird story.
That's man. He
it has. Yeah.
This
it,
guy. I wish I could go opposite of this guy at his soccer. I mean, this guy was bad.
Yeah.
I mean, to lose $4.5 million. And again, the bookie extending that kind of a limit.
And why is the bookie extending the credit to a guy who's making $300,000 a year?
He's lying to the bookie. Shohei's backing me. He had to have said that. Right?
I guess. I guess.
I think we're going
to do. You've got a lot of investigative reporting to do baseball investigations.
There's other people for that. Good, bad, and dirty coming up next on ESPN 1000.
Ah, commuting in Chicago. If you're stuck, stick with Waddle and Sylvie. Weekdays 2 to 6. The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow. So many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Oh, yeah. The good, the bad, the dirty is brought to you by Avondale Roofing. If your roof, commercial or residential, has taken a beating, check out Avondale Roofing. Search AvondaleRoofing.com, read reviews, and sign up for a free estimate. Avondale on top until you're satisfied. Do you pronounce roofing or roofing?
Roofing.
Roofing?
Roofing.
Roofing. How do you guys say it?
Roofing.
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 Not rough. Roofing.
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 Roofing. I think it all comes down to kind of like your where you're from.
I'm from roofing. That's where I'm from.
What is your good, Jeff?
My good is... Oh, wait. Let me punch it up. Sorry. Marcus Domask. Domask. Not dumbass. Domask.
Domask?
Domask. Triple-double in round one of the NCAA tournament against Morehead State. I love the fact that it's not a point guard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
12 points.
Transfer from Southern.
11 rebounds, 10 assists. I know. This is in honor of Sylvie. Marcus Domask, the transfer from Southern. 12 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. A rare triple-double in an NCAA game. I can't remember, Tyler. Maybe you know it. There's only been a...
I think there's been 10
Yeah,
all
not
time.
That many. I know it was 10 to 13, something like that. So Marcus Domask in game one against Morehead State. Hit another good one in round two, but a triple-double is one to remember. That's my good.
My good is the tournament itself this weekend. It was chalk, all chalk, but that's okay because I think that projects that the next round, the Sweet 16 later this week, is going to be better matchups with better teams. So I think the tournament's been very entertaining, and I like the fact that the better teams, for the most part, they all advanced.
Tyler?
My good is the Purdue Boilermakers. They not only won their first round game, although not that impressive, but their second round game, a 39-point victory over an 8 seed.
Woo!
That, to me, is pretty impressive stuff. Zach Edey, I think I saw he had his third first half double-double of the season. So yeah, he looks phenomenal, and it's pretty crazy that he's the greatest player in the sport, and all people want to do is talk about how he'll never be an NBA player.
Right.
Too tall.
Charlie?
Too tall.
My good is North Carolina, the Tar Heels. You're repping them, Jesse. They came out, they kind of got punched in the mouth a little bit by Michigan State at the beginning of that game, but they end up taking care of business by the end of that first half. It was never really all that close. They end up winning by 16 over Tom Izzo's Spartans.
Sparty.
For the bad, I'm going to go to the Northwestern last night. I mean, I hate to do it. I mean, he's the heart and soul of the team, but Boo Booey just missed everything. He missed everything. 2 for 15 from the field. He did hit his free throws.
Yeah.
0 for 3 from three-point land.
Yes.
I mean, it's the biggest game of the year. He just couldn't hit anything. Boo Booey was my bad. And I don't say that, like, happily. Like, it just it didn't work.
My bad is away from the courts, the basketball courts. Maybe not the real courts, because I don't know if you saw this, but Diddy's homes in L.A. and Miami have been raided by federal agents. It's a bad story going on for Diddy. Believe he's there looking for some stuff that would reinforce some naughtiness and some bad behavior. So
that's Diddy, not good.
Diddy's homes have been invaded. They've been raided.
Raided.
Yeah.
Maybe invaded.
I'm going dark here for good, bad, and dirty.
Okay.
Yeah. That's some bad stories. Like you.
Yeah. No, I know.
Not like you.
Yeah.
What happened to you this weekend, huh?
I don't know. I'm just saying. What's your bad? Wait till you get my dirty. My dirty's going to make you puke.
Oh no. My bad is the ACC haters. Suck it, haters, because the ACC goes a perfect 8-0 through the first 64 and the 32nd, or the rounds of 64 and 32. So they
ACC.
Proud to be. ACC.
There you go.
So they look fantastic along the way as well.
My bad is the SEC. How about that? A little
Alabama won.
Alabama won and Tennessee won, but you know who did not win? Kentucky, Mississippi State, A&M just lost. Bad showing for the SEC, especially on the heels of Commissioner Greg Sankey demanding they expand it just so they can get more SEC teams in. I thought it was very fitting that the same weekend that happened. Kentucky loses to Oakland.
Love it.
My dirty is I go back to the Northwestern game on the other end of the court. Donovan Klingon, the big man, 7-footer, just completely changed the game. That, why do you think Boo Booey had a bad game? It's because Klingon's sitting there in the middle blocking everything. Northwestern had 0 blocks in the game. Klingon alone had 8.
Yeah.
8. That, and think about it, that's 8 possessions, right?
Yeah.
Northwestern doesn't. Now, maybe they recovered a couple of those blocks, but you know what I'm saying? It's just game-changing from Klingon, who ended up with 14 points, 14 rebounds, and 8 blocks. Nearly the odd triple-double.
Yeah.
He was dirty, really dirty.
My dirty is Friday, a California man was busted in Bakersfield. He was arrested for walking around and apparently chewing on a severed human leg.
Like a
little leg jerky,
like you would do at Taste of Chicago with one of the big turkey legs.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. He was arrested for walking around in Bakersfield apparently chewing on a severed human leg. That's my dirty.
Where's the rest
Top
of the body?
Tyler.
Is what I'd like to know.
Top that.
I don't think I can.
Jesse raises a good question.
Where's the rest of the body?
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't want to know.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
He finished it for lunch.
Yes.
My dirty from the weekend was the Creighton and Oregon game. Went to double overtime, was back and forth. Looked like Oregon had a stranglehold on it, and then all of a sudden, here come the Blue Jays, and they're moving on to the Sweet 16. Should be a good one with them and Tennessee as well this upcoming week.
That's not even close to as dirty as my dirty.
I don't think anyone can get as close to that, except for maybe the eel story that you shared during Waddle's World.
That might be dirty. That was dirtier. I don't think so.
A little dirt off right here? All right, what,
Charlie, first before we debate which is a dirtier story?
All right, mine is that Kansas-Samford game. It feels like a long time ago now, but we know how that one ended with the no call. If you forgot, here's what it is.
90-89. Kansas gets the ball in. Ahead to Timberlake on the run. And he misses the shot.
Did they call a foul?
He went for the jam. Should have gone for the layup. hit the deck hard.
I got to see the replay. That was that clean? I got to see the replay, though.
You're
that was clean. That, I don't know if there was a foul right there.
Sorry, not a no call. A bad call. Either way, it deprived Stanford of at least an opportunity.
Yeah, but you heard the announcers, like they had to see the replay. That, I mean, it's a tough call.
He still got it wrong.
Can I be an asshat here and piggyback and say the analyst there, I don't know who it was, asked four questions instead of providing any type
there
of
you go, Waddle.
Any type of analysis.
Waddle School of Broadcasting.
Which is, you know, burp a lot and say penis 1,000 times a show and you'll get somewhere. Which, no, don't do that. I mean, I don't think they're doing that at Medill, are they? They're doing that at Medill? They teach you that
doesn't
at Medill?
Look like it.
No.
They're not teaching you how to beat UConn either.
No. Ouch. Wow. That's not good. Hey, by the way.
Yeah.
This was one of the things I wanted to play was, my good should have been Jim Harbaugh. We should do a Jim Harbaugh quote of the week.
JJ McCarthy's the best in the world?
Not that one. Okay. Somebody asked him about the importance of the offensive line. Charlie, do you have that sound? I
got it right here.
I thought this was quintessential Jim Harbaugh. And you're going to get more of this as the NFL season rolls on because he is uniquely Jim Harbaugh.
The offensive line to me is important. I mean, if I ask you the question of, like, what position group depends on no other position group to be good, but every other position group depends on them to be good, you know, what position group is that? Offensive line. They're not relying on any other position group to be good. They go out and they're good. But yet every other position group relies on the offensive line to be good. And then the D-line, they'll be the ones that argue back. Ah, we don't need the offensive line to be good. Do you? Do you like when the offense has a 12-play drive? And, you know, the field position? Yeah, okay. You're right. You know, it's like, so yeah, that, building that, you know, kind of offensive line, that's exciting. You know, can't wait to do that. April 2nd, let's get it started. Let's go. You know, so you feel ready to roll.
I could listen to him.
Yeah, it's good.
Just talk about things all day long.
Well, if the question was how important is the offensive line, I'm surprised he didn't take off the guy's head. Like how important is breathing? You know, but he gave a great nuanced answer.
Because
I was mid answer, I was like, well, the defensive line doesn't need anybody. But then he had an answer for that. Answer for that.
Of course, the Jim Harbaugh quote of the week, I think, is something we should look into.
Yeah,
and I also talked. I mean, Courtney talked about this as well, or maybe you brought it up about how Jim told anyone that would listen out at the meetings that JJ McCarthy was the best quarterback in the draft, which to me is a great move by him. He's pumping up his guy who he thinks the world of, and he doesn't compromise his own, you know, situation because he's got Justin Herbert and isn't looking for a quarterback.
That's a good point. Right.
So he doesn't have to choose JJ McCarthy over Caleb Williams,
which is what I brought up to Courtney, like
Drake Mayer, anybody.
If San Diego didn't have a quarterback and had one of the top picks, would he really take JJ over Caleb?
Don't know, but he doesn't have to go down that road because he's already got Justin Herbert.
Yeah, that's
so he took a great opportunity to give his guy a little pump his tires, which I think is awesome.
So who's your partner tomorrow? You know, because you like different partners. I know you like different partners.
I've got Adam Abdallah. Adam Abdallah and I will work the noon to...
Oh, you got spring trading.
Yes, okay. Spring trading, noon to 3.
Okay, because I think I'm on with you for a baseball report. So I'll make
perfect.
I'll make something up.
I always love when you are sitting next to me doing the show.
Oh, I appreciate
filling
that.
In for Sylvie.
Well,
we always have fun.
Yeah.
Always bring a bastion of knowledge.
Thank you. It's always fun. Always good to see you. I don't get to be in here very often because of my other duties, and I'm going to be leaving town Wednesday for a few days and then back for the home opener here and all that jazz. So.
Do you travel safe?
Thank you. I appreciate that. But I will talk to you tomorrow.
That's right.
In the year.
We'll talk to you.
Some thank yous to Courtney Cronin and Alden Gonzalez, who joined us from L.A. and Orlando, where the NFL owners' meetings are going on. Also, of course, to Tyler and Charlie for producing the show, making us sound at least a little bit intelligent here.
My prediction is that this Shohei situation is probably going to take a few twists and turns before we get to anything solid.
I agree. It's probably going to go quiet for a little bit, and then we're going to get some news in the coming weeks or months or whatever the case may be. But that was quite the press conference today.
Major League Baseball has to continue to make sure they're transparent and goes through a very exhaustive investigation.
Sure. Check out the podcast, the Waddle and Sylvie Show. We played the Ohtani press conference right about 5 o'clock here. Have a great rest of your Monday. Bears Weekly is coming up next. The one and only Jeff Joniak. Stay tuned right here on ESPN 1000.